In Matthew's gospel, both Jesus and his disciples sow the seed of God's word by proclaiming the good news that the kingdom of heaven is near. Now, in a memorable parable, Jesus explains why this good news produces different results in those who hear. Our gospel reading this morning comes from Matthew, the 13th chapter. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach, and he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen." Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the words of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures for only a while, and when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, and in another 60, and in another 30. The Gospel of the Lord. Well, we gather around our family table here for a moment of conversation and wondering together. Today, we are going to talk about lighting a candle. So why is it that we have a candle in the midst of our family table? A candle helps us to remember that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. So when you sit down in your spot to be with family or by yourself, for some time in God's word and devotion around your family table, to light a candle is to remind ourselves, to do something physically to remind ourselves that God is in this space by the power of the Holy Spirit. The first chapter of the Gospel of John says that Jesus Christ is the light of the world, the light which no darkness can overcome. It takes just the smallest light in the darkest of rooms to begin to push the darkness back into the corners, to give you a spot of light and safety and comfort. So here's a question for you. A question that I would invite you to sit with family members around this day, or sit by yourself and ponder it. When was a time of darkness in your life? How was it, or who was it, that brought Christ's light present into it? I leave this with you as a time for your pondering and reminding ourselves of the importance of lighting a candle and remembering that Christ is present. Amen. Well, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and our Lord and risen Savior, Jesus the Christ. So I'm a talker. I guess I've always been a talker, and sometimes maybe too much of a talker even. I want to tell you a little bit about my Uncle Gary. He was a teacher, a principal, a superintendent. His career took him to a number of stops across western North Dakota. But before all of that, he was just my uncle, my favorite uncle. Like I said, I've always been a talker, and once upon a time, before his educational career ever took off, before he was married, when I was about 5 years old, and maybe he was 21 or 22, we were together, and I was talking, and talking. And all of a sudden, Uncle Gary looked at me, and he said, "Mark, in life, each person is given only so many words to speak. And right now, it seems to me that you are using up a whole lot of them. It may come a day when you run out of words." I was wasting words that day, and they were making my uncle's ears sore. It was as if he was saying, "Shh, boy, enough now. Be quiet. Shush." Well, I don't want to waste my words today. I pray that they serve their purpose. My purpose is simple: that I might take scripture that is thousands of years old, take these texts, bring them into today's language where you can hear a word of challenge and promise, death and life, law and gospel. God's word does what it says it's going to do. That's at the center of the text in Isaiah. It's at the center of the gospel reading today as well. But I want to start in Isaiah. Isaiah 55, if you read this book or this chapter, is a vision of pure hope in God's care for God's people. It includes, in the very beginning of the chapter, a vision of a huge banquet table that is filled with the most scrumptious food that you could think of. Good meat, fresh fruits, well-aged wine that you would want. And the best part of it? It comes at no cost. It's there for the taking. And the doors are thrown wide open, and people are invited to come to this huge banquet feast that God is putting on, and the call is, eat your fill. The chapter ends with the text that we read this morning, a text that says, when rain falls, when snow comes to the ground, there is no question of what's going to happen. You can't stop it. When it falls, it's going to make grass turn green. It's going to make sown seeds burst forth. It's going to make flowers bloom. There is no way when God's word is spoken that it will not accomplish what God expects of it. Now, it's powerful to understand that these words are spoken at a time of deep despair for Israel. It's not good times. Scholars place this writing, it's called 2nd Isaiah, they place it about 45 years after the temple has been destroyed, after a lot of the people from Jerusalem have been rounded up and marched away to a foreign land. They've been living there for decades. and they're losing their hope. They're wondering if God cares, or if God exists, or if God exists, does God hear their cries? Or if God hears their cries, does God care about their cries? It is into this context that God gives these words to Isaiah, these words of incredible hope, to speak over God's chosen people. A word that says, when God's word goes out, it is going to do what it says. Well, when we speak of the word, like with a capital W, we understand that that word is Jesus Christ. Remember the beginning of the book of John? In the beginning was the word, and the word was God, and the word was with God. John introduces Jesus as the very Word, which ushered forth from God's mouth. So what is that word? It is life, and it is life abundant. It is pure gift, offered to you, offered to your neighbor, offered even to people that you don't like very much, because God loves all and has gifted the world with the word so that all might come to believe. Word and words are at play in the gospel text today as well. Word from a sower and about a sower. Listen, Jesus cries out, open your ears, let what I have to say sink in. Then Jesus begins to tell the story of the sower. I love this parable. My imagination comes alive with the vision of a Galilean farmer walking across a roughly plowed field. Strapped across his chest is a bag. It's made out of roughly woven fabric. He reaches into that bag, grabs a handful of seed, and just tosses it, lavishly tosses it across this roughly plowed field. He grabs handful after handful after handful and tosses it in the field. Look at one of those seeds as it flies through the air and lands in the soil. That tiny seed, with its mystery and miracle. Contained within that little seed is absolutely everything needed for a plant to germinate, to sprout, and to push up through that soil and become a plant with one or more heads, and each head containing dozens of seeds. A single tiny seed is a symbol of mysterious hope, because under the right conditions, it will produce grain to be used for cereal, for bread, for animal food. That tiny seed, a symbol of hope, has the ability within it to sustain life, and if you hold back a few of them, you get to plant another crop next year. Back to that sower. Lavishly, the sower tosses the seed, letting it fall where it may. He is not hand-picking and delicately placing each seed in the perfect soil. Lavishly tossing, some of it landing on path, some of it landing on rocky soil, some of it landing in the midst of weeds, and still others falling in good soil. Let anyone with ears to hear listen, Jesus says. And that's what it's all about. It's about words and listening.
It's about those words being drawn into the center of our being and allowing them to do their work. Work of transforming us and shaping us, creating us to be the people that God intended us to be. So what does that look like anyway? It looks like that family table where we take this word of God and we take it seriously, we take it into our being by reading or listening, and we let it work on us. We let it poke at us in those places of our sin or our sinfulness. We let it round off our rough edges. We let it call forth from us that which God wants of us. The word does its work on us, and then it transforms us into sowers as well. Once the seed takes root, God's call on us is that we would let others know of this word as well. Do you remember those words from Amazing Grace? I once was lost, but now am found. 'Twas blind, but now I see. It is God's word that takes the lost and turns them into the found, takes the blind and opens their eyes. The word does its work on us. It transforms us, takes our sin and our sinfulness, and it is the word which redeems us. Through the word, our brokenness is taken and transformed. It takes us, it shapes us slowly, lovingly through our whole lives into that, and it creates in us that which God desires us to be. And let me be clear, it's not a one-time event. It is a lifelong process of re-engaging this word as it transforms us and changes us and shapes us. That's what God's word does. So here's the question that I leave you with this day. What is the word or the words that you want to sow? What are the words that you toss about freely and lavishly? God has gifted you with the ability and the opportunity to help God accomplish God's purpose. So here's the question. Will you use your words well so the word may sprout and grow? Thanks be to God. Amen.